You got the heart of a champion. Won't stop till the battle's won.
Naomi Osaka is the Australian Open champion. She is the new world number one. And he enters the record books with a historic 7th Australian Open title.
Je sette match parti. Deux manches à zéro. 6-1, 6-3.
Ashley Barty.
Four.
So, 7 minutes now. 6-3, 5-7, 6-1, 6-1.
Il remporte son 12e Roland Garros, Rafael Nadal.
Simona Halep is the Wimbledon champion. She has stunned the centre court, and they will be dancing in the streets of Bucharest.
Wimbledon number 5. For the Serbian superstar, what a treat this has been. The top seed triumphs, and it can surprise no one. He's beaten Roger Federer today in the longest final in Wimbledon history.
You got the heart of a champion.
Welcome to the First Serve, your home of tennis from the land down under, with your host, Brett Phillips.
Welcome to the First Serve, your home of tennis on the Super Radio Network for another Saturday. All thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer. They're at tennisonly.com.au. They're shipping all over Australia, your one-stop shop for all your tennis needs. So I've got to say, nice to be back on home soil. The wind-down continues from the 2019 US Open as Bianca Andreescu and Rafael Nadal savour their victories at different stages of their tennis journeys. Huge for Canadian tennis to have their first ever Grand Slam champion in the Open era. She's been celebrated in a really big way since her win, and she even stopped into the Tonight Show this week in the US with Jimmy Fallon.
Welcome to the Tonight Show. Thank you, this is it, huh?
It's a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh my gosh. How does it feel?
Oh man, it feels so good. I made history in Canada. I'm truly blessed.
Yeah, you made history here. And I know you're from Canada as well. Let me just run through some things here. You started the year ranked 152. Now you rank 5. Wow. You're the first teenager to win a major in over a decade. You're the first player born in the 2000s to win a major singles title. Canadian to win a major singles title. And this is the first time you qualified for the U.S. Open in 3 years, and you won the whole thing.
You're making me blush.
Walk me through this. Have you had time to really just breathe and take it all in and go, what is going on with everything?
No, definitely not. Everything has been pretty hectic ever since, so I never really got the chance to let everything soak in. But yeah, last year has been pretty crazy. I was going through a really bad back injury, so now being able to hold this trophy is something really special. And playing against Serena in the final, I mean, I've been dreaming of this moment for a pretty long time. But yeah, this is honestly crazy.
Do you get nervous when you go, oh my gosh, I'm going up against Serena Williams? This is legendary.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. I got a sense of how that was during Toronto in the finals. So I think I was able to control my emotions a little bit better. I mean, I was really, really nervous before the match. But when I stepped on the court, I just stuck to my game plan, and I did some really good things.
Yeah, you did. I would say so. Does that added pressure make you want to play harder and go like, oh my gosh, say extra focus? Like, what were you just
saying? Oh, yeah, definitely. There's always going to be pressure, whether it's the pressure you put on yourself or the external pressure. But I think, like what Billie Jean King says, pressure is a privilege. So I just try to embrace it as much as I can. And I think I've been doing that really well this year.
And Canada is going crazy for you. I mean, you've heard from everybody, right? Yeah, who have you heard from?
Everyone. Shania Twain.
Hello. Oh, I mean, that's it. You can stop right there. I mean, hello. That's all you need. But Trudeau?
Justin Trudeau, John Tory, Steve Nash, the Raptors, the Leafs. It's been crazy. I've been feeling all the love from home, and I truly.
Is there anyone you haven't heard from yet?
Drizzy. Champagne Poppy, I'm waiting for you.
Drake. Drake, if you're watching.
Don't at me.
Yeah, don't at me. Oh, my gosh.
Bianca Andreescu, the US Open champion of 2019. Well, myself and the other Aussie media assembled in New York over the last fortnight caught up with Ash Barty after her and Victoria Azarenka finished runner-up in the women's doubles final. We had an extended chat with Ash and started by asking her about Bianca Andreescu's win.
It's incredible, I think, to see some of the tennis that she's played and some of the wins that she's had. And it's been very much a fairy tale, kind of magical year for her. And she's the ultimate competitor. She's proven that time and time again. I think that's one of the best assets that you can get in a champion. And I think she certainly proved that.
Do you watch that final when you're here, or what do you?
I saw 8 points of it. Yeah. Vika and I were practicing when they started, and then I was kind of driving home. I think I left here when it was 5-1 in the second set. So once I was driving home, it kind of was a bit. I mean, I didn't see what happened, but I think just from looking at the scoreline and kind of seeing how that story played out, it was an incredible effort to refresh and kind of regain our focus at 5-all.
Opportunity now also for Serena. She's back in the top 10. Another big challenge. I mean, do you enjoy the prospect of really validating further your world number one ranking by playing these girls that are back in the top 10 and Andreescu, who clearly an amazing talent?
I feel like I don't need to validate it. I think I've done the work, and I feel like a ranking is a true reflection of where you're at. I've always said that it's that you know, it requires you to be consistent to build up your ranking and kind of get higher and higher, lower, lower, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, the challenge of playing the best in the world is always the greatest challenge. That's why we play this game, is to test ourselves against the very best. And you know, hopefully I've got a few more opportunities in this next month or so, 5-6 weeks of the normal season to test myself against the best and then gear up for a big couple of weeks to finish
off. Clearly your consistency has been the hallmark of your season. Apart from winning the French, has that been the most satisfying part of the season, the way you've been able to barely lose?
Oh, I've lost enough. I've lost enough for it to hurt and to drive me to be better. But I've also, I think I've done a better job of not getting too carried away with the highs and too worried about the lows. I think that's been something that I've worked on and something that is challenging to do at times. And, you know, I'm guilty of letting the emotions take over more than once this year, but I'm trying to do it less and less and be a little bit more, you know, I suppose, level-headed about it and not get too stressed.
You had a great finish to the season last year in Asia. What are the challenges that brings, and do you love playing through that period there?
Yeah, it's a period where I think conditions can suit my game. I know Wuhan, I've always felt like I've played well there. It's always a very challenging tournament, always a very strong tournament. And the last couple of years I've missed Beijing, so I think it's an opportunity to try and test out how I can go in Beijing. And I mean, the perfect way to finish off a great year, no matter what happens from now, is a Fed Cup final at home, which is something that all of us Aussie girls, kind of in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been working towards to try and give ourselves this opportunity. So I think it's going to be I think finishing off in a Fed Cup final will be the highlight of the year, no matter what happens.
Ash, obviously the year is not over, but do you start thinking about next year now, or is it at the end of the championships, end of Fed Cup, that you start looking towards next year?
I think we have to start looking towards next year purely from a scheduling point of view with the Olympics and other things that are and how that's going to change the schedule. I don't think we really plan anything, but I think we have to. Once the calendar is released next year, we have to have a look at it. But I mean, the calendar hasn't been released, so it's not something that I'm stressing about now. But yeah, I mean, we kind of plan roughly what we're going to try and do, and then look at the dates and make sure they line up and make sure I can give myself enough rest.
And what about targets and focuses for next year? I mean, now that you're a major winner and world number one, what do you project to for next year? Is that too early, or does that wait till later on?
Yeah, it definitely waits till later. That waits until after Fed Cup final, after I've had a week off and had a couple of beers and kind of relaxed and refreshed. That's when we sit down and when we start our pre-season, probably come December, that's when we sit down and reassess and go from there.
Ash, you're very humble, obviously, and a team player, clearly. What would it hate put you in this position? What would be more important for you? To finish year end number one, Australia's first woman to do that, or to win a Fed Cup?
Oh, I mean,
Darren.
Excuse my French, but shit, it's a pretty good option either way. I mean, we've got an opportunity to win a Fed Cup final. I've put myself in an opportunity to try and finish year end number one. But if they both happen, or if neither happen, it's, I think, probably the best way to describe it is it's not going to change the way I relax, the way that I stay with my family, what my family think of me. So ultimately, they're all little things that you can look forward to, but they don't really define you, and it's certainly not what I really want to be remembered for.
Ash, when your game's in great order, and obviously you continue to chip away, when you look at what Andreescu's achieved and her style, how does that make you sort of look at your own game as the challenges continue to come? And there's probably another pack of, you know, those younger girls who are going to really start to emerge in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched enough of Bianca to probably really appreciate how she plays. I've watched bits and pieces, but I haven't really sat down and watched her. I mean, I'd love to play her, and I'd love to test myself against her to see why she and how she presents so many challenges and why she is, winning all these matches and as good as she is. I love that challenge. I would love to test myself against her. So I'm sure that we'll cross paths eventually, hopefully more than once.
Yeah. And putting you in a spot also, I mean, on the men's side, you've got three guys that are still consistently up there. There are some of the challengers, but haven't quite made the breakthrough compared to the women's tour, where there is that constant changing. What sits better with you?
I think it's exciting on the women's side that there is change. Obviously, I feel like there have been a lot of players over the last 5 or 10 years that have been consistent, have been dominant at times, but not dominant across the whole 10 years. But I think it shows the depth. I think it really does that we've had 4 different Grand Slam winners this year. I think we've only had a handful of players who have won multiple titles, but I think those who have won multiple titles, I think you can see the quality in that, and I think that's a challenge, is making sure that you set out your schedule in a way that allows you to play your best tennis, rest enough, and then also try and peak for the right times. But it's also important to remember that everybody's human, and it's impossible to play your best every single day. It's impossible to win every single tennis match. So sometimes you're going to lose first round, sometimes you're going to lose in a final, you're going to win a tournament. I mean, there's no guarantees in this sport, and I think that's the best thing about it, because if there were guarantees and everyone who was meant to win won, there would be no reason for us to play, and there would be no enjoyment in that, I think.
Ash Barty, really generous with her time in New York, and an exciting final few months of the year coming up. After the break, a great tennis team set to reunite, and the comeback that's been announced of a former 4-time Grand Slam champion. All thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer. Check them out, tennisonly.com.au. They're shipping all over Australia, wherever you are, your one-stop shop for all your tennis needs.
You got the heart of a champion.
We're ready to go again. This is the First Serve. Tennis from every angle, every week with Brett Phillips.
Welcome back to the First Serve, your home of tennis on the Super Radio Network for another Saturday. All thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer. They're shipping all over Australia, your one-stop shop. You don't need to go anywhere else for all your tennis needs. It'll come right to your front door. Log on to tennisonly.com.au. Well, in a moment, we'll hear from one of the most popular and loved stars when she played on the WTA Tour, who is coming back. We've also learnt that Simona Halep, this year's Wimbledon champion, will team up with her former coach, the Aussie, Darren Cale, once again for the 2020 season. The former WTA world number one announced it via her social media channels. Now, the Australian announced a split with his longtime pupil during November of last year, expressing that he wished to be home more for support as our children enter important stages of their lives. It brought to an end a really successful 3-year collaboration, which saw Halep become the WTA world number one for the first time in 2017, and also pick up a maiden Grand Slam title at the French Open in 2018. Although she won Wimbledon this year, defeating Serena Williams in the final, she has struggled to match the consistency that she managed last year and has slipped back to world number 6. However, she will be reunited with Darren Cale for the coming year. She had a trial spell with her coach, Thierry Van Climput, earlier this year, currently recuperating from an ankle injury, which forced her out of the WTA event in China this week. So great to see them back together. And the big news to surface in the tennis world over the last 48 hours is the former Grand Slam champion, Kim Clijsters, has announced she will return to professional tennis next season, ending a seven-year hiatus from the game. 36 years of age, back in training with a view to returning to the WTA circuit next year after taking a second prolonged break from the game to raise her three children. And she spoke to Courtney Nguyen, host of the WTA Insider podcast.
Let's say year and a half, 2 years, kind of. It happened a couple of times on and off. Whenever I went to a tournament and I played a Legends event, and I realized I kind of still feel more like a player than I do as a commentator or as a legend. Yeah, and then, you know, I would come home and I would realize, like, this really is impossible. You know, my youngest was only half a year old, a year old. And he's almost, he's two now, almost three now. So over the years, I sometimes played with the idea, but then I was like, no, this is impossible. Like, my life is here at home now and with the three kids, you know, my youngest needs me the most, and couldn't see, you know, that being a part of my life even. Just thinking about it, I automatically blocked it off in the beginning. So I was like, no, I can't. It's not going to be able to happen again. And then as my youngest got a little bit older, and he now is going to school, I think at the start of this year, the five of us, my husband got fired from his coaching job in December, and which actually, you know, turned out great. We were able to go make the trip down to Australia together for the Australian Open, where I was going to do some events and played Legends games. And so the five of us actually went. So my husband and I and the three kids, we made it like a family trip. That was kind of also the first time where we were able to talk to our kids about, you know, how we were able to do that with Jada back in the day, and talk to Jada about it again, and about, and Jack, and just experience it all together. And yeah, a couple of times I was like, you know, I was like, I would talk to Jada. I'd be like, Jada, do you like this kind of lifestyle? And she was like, yes, I love it. You know, but then I would come home, and tennis was so far out of my life. Whenever I would come back from a tournament, that I would be like, no, I'm in a way like stuck here at home. You know, this is my life and the kids and the routine of school and everything. And yeah, it kind of stuck with me a little bit that last time, since we all went to Australia together. And then I was like, look, I don't even know who I talked to first. I think it was maybe Sam, my trainer, again. And I was like, look, let's try to get in shape, you know, because I definitely need last, especially since the last birth. Yeah, I worked out a little bit here and there, but there was nothing consistent going on. You know, it was whenever I had time, you know, between the kids and the, you know, the academy, and just balancing everything. Yeah, I just didn't feel like I had the time to even just take proper care of myself. And which was, you know, also why I didn't, you know, the process that I've been going through these last few months has been tough, but I feel like I've had more energy these last 6 months or so than I've had in the last 2 years, because I'm actually, you know, I'm taking care of myself better. I'm not putting everything aside or towards the children, or I'm actually also giving myself some time. And that's something that I kind of, yeah, forgot about a little bit. Yeah, it's been the process. And that's what I told my team, like, even if I don't make it, this whole process has been so worth it, you know, for me to kind of get back into a good routine. I'm actually leaving the house in the morning and I've had breakfast. You know, like, right. Back in the day, like with the three kids, it was like, I would sometimes just finish a little bit of oatmeal that Jada left in her bowl, or, you know, the kids left some fruit out on the table that they didn't eat, or, you know, that was my breakfast a lot of times, because we were rushing to school. I was bringing Blake to daycare, or, you know, like, you, it's a, yeah.
It's mom life. Time, yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, mom life. And I felt like, okay, you know, maybe let's try this. And Blake started going to kindergarten, and I was like, okay, I have time during the day. Let's do this. Let's see if I can get my body in shape to play tennis at a level where I would like it to be at, that I have in mind, where I would like to get to, and see if it's possible. See, first of all, if my body is capable of even doing that. And these last few months, I've been improving. I've been getting stronger again. I've been getting fitter. And obviously, tennis-wise, I haven't done that much, because I felt like I wanted to really put my body, the training, to be tennis-ready.
Right.
Like I call it, is because there's still a, you know, big difference in being able to run, you know, for a certain amount of time without having pains in my lower back or my knees, or, you know, and but being on a tennis court is still a completely different thing. And being able to play the way that I would like to play in my head is different. And it's a challenge, but I love it. I love the challenge. I like to push myself. I'm surprised how, at times when I'm going through a rough practice, how easy it is for me to stick with it and to bite through it and to just push through it. And it's a very satisfying feeling to have that that kind of challenge again.
So it sounds like when you started to kind of think about it, or whether it was kind of ghost, like this ghost in the back of your mind, the last couple of years of this idea of potentially coming back and playing, that the decision to kind of come back was really, was there something about it, about being on the tour, that you missed? Or was it just something more kind of internal that you felt like, oh, there are things I still want to prove to myself, or I just want to take on this challenge? Like, was it the pull of the game? Was it looking for something? What do you think?
It's not really, I don't really feel like I want to prove something. I think for me, it's the challenge. You know how there's some people, I have friends who would say, I want to run a marathon. I want to run the New York Marathon before I turn 50 or before I turn 40. And it's kind of, I don't know, for me, I still love to play tennis. I mean, whenever I'm at a Grand Slam, you know, playing the legends, if somebody asks me, hey, do you want to hit some balls? Like, I'm the first one to be like, yep, I'll hit. You know, I'll be the hitting partner, you know, for your practice today. Like, I still love playing tennis. So to me, it's that, to see, you know, the love for sport is obviously still there. But the question is, still is, am I capable of bringing it to a level where I would like to be at? And where I wanted to be at before I want to play at a high level of, you know, one of the best women's sports in the world. I don't feel like I need to prove anything, but I want to challenge myself.
This is your marathon.
Be strong again. This is my marathon. This is where I'm saying, okay, let's try this. And of course, there's, you know, if you want to go do a marathon, you're not going to have the whole media on your face, and you're not going to, you know, and that was to me the toughest part about it. Okay, I know that I can handle it, you know, but then the kids, that's a different story. And you know, our life is very easy and simple right now.
We'll certainly watch this space with great interest. So that is it for us, another big edition of the First Serve, all thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer, at tennisonly.com.au, shipping all over Australia, your one-stop shop for all your tennis needs. Make sure you follow us on all our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and I'll catch you next Saturday from 1 o'clock.